Welcome. My name is Tracy Stevens, and this is the Healing Point Podcast.
Thanks for joining me, and it's great to have you here. What would you like to talk about today?
6 months ago, I started to suffer from chained injuries. I've been active in martial arts. In judo, I was competing as a professional athlete in judo since I was 5 years old, and now I'm 32. Last 2 years, I decided to make a break from competitions and very intensive workouts. And I decided to explore the world. And somehow I ended up again in my judogi on the mat, doing the same thing I did before that break. Because my very good friend of mine opened a new club. I was so thrilled and excited about it. And I decided to compete again. So that happened last year in September when I restarted my career. And 6 months ago, something strange started to happen to my body. First, I started to feel very big pain in my wrists, in both wrists, and in my left shoulder. And my right shoulder is... I have some metal implants that I gained 10, 15 years ago. I had that injury and I recovered. And now something happened with the left shoulder and with my wrists. So day by day, every day, it was worse and worse. And after 2 weeks, I couldn't do anything with my wrists anymore. And I couldn't lift up my left arm. I competed. I had competition with that pain in my body, and I won. I was first, but it was very stressful for me. I cried like a kid. I don't know what happened. It was not that I was afraid, but something happened inside of me. That is what I noticed. Later on, it get even worse, and I had to see my doctor. They said that I have inflammation of my tendons in both wrists and inflammation in my shoulder. The same tendon. Later on, they discovered that I have calcification. And now the last result that because I had to do MRI because nothing helped, no matter what I did. I did a lot of therapies, such as shockwave therapy. And they said, well, this is the best. This is going to help you for sure. But it didn't. And I said, okay, I have to do MRI. And I did it. And they discovered a lot of things. I suffer a lot because of that. It doesn't let me, I cannot sleep. I cannot do anything. And I'm a personal coach. So it affects my business as well.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And now I didn't just say one important thing that judo and Brazilian jiu-jitsu that I do, that's my biggest passion. That's something that makes me happy. And now it's like, I'm so limited, you know, I cannot do something that makes me happy, something that is like a way to forget everything.
Yes. So what is it you're trying to forget?
Somehow when I put my judogi, that's the uniform, I forget about all the world that surrounds me. I'm focused only on breathing and on that fire and passion that I feel while doing that judo fight. I'm forgetting about all obligations, all stress, all the things that, all the people that rely on me, you know. I feel like I have to help all of them, and that's the moment when I don't have to do anything about them.
Well, here's the clue, you see. So there's something else going on in your life that creates some sort of stress in you at some level. And you've got the thing that you love doing, that you really want to do, but something is drawing you back into your life with the obligations and the other people relying on you to look at it in order to clear that. What you're not doing when you're doing judo is addressing the issues that are lying around in the rest of your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's great to follow your passion, but also it sounds like this is forcing you to clear something, some other things that are within your life that don't make you as happy as the judo does. that be right to say?
Yeah, the very moment when I decided to compete again, this injury started to appear.
Right.
Before, when I did it for recreation, it was fine. But when the friend asked me, do you want to compete? First, the answer was no. But then something was like, yeah, inside of me, like, yeah, you need this. Just do it. And then soon after that decision, this started to, like, punish me.
Right. Okay. And so let's just talk for a minute about the way your body's feeling right now. So what happens in your shoulder and your wrists right now? Is the pain still evident every day?
Yes.
And how do you notice it? When do you notice it?
It's day 24 hours, that pain. This shoulder is pulsing all day. When I have to pull something with the left hand, it's impossible without pain. It is possible, but with pain. About the wrists, you know, I feel as they are so fragile, as I have to take care of my wrists all the day, you know. And before, you know, judo is a lot about pulling and pushing, and you need to grab your partner, judogi. And so the hands are very strong. Right now, I feel like they're so weak. Like I can break them every second.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
When I'm doing something with my students, because I have my own judo club now, and I'm showing techniques to the kids, and I see out of nowhere, I see that, for example, I grab the judogi and something like click inside, and I feel like, whoa, did I broke it? Like, or I'm just walking and doing something like some ordinary thing, like switching off the light, and the same thing came like tick. I always feel like something will happen.
So what's it like feeling fragile now in your life?
I feel very weak. I feel like I'm losing my base.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the very fundament of my strength is going away.
Yes. And so how is that making you feel inside? How is that making you feel emotionally?
I'm afraid I'm going to lose everything that I was actually, that I'm going to, my identity is going to crush, because that is what I am. Like, I'm the fighter, I'm the warrior, and I'm passing that to my students. And I'm working with people, and people comes to me to ask for help, to make them more braver, like to give them a courage. And now I feel like I don't have anything to give anymore.
Ah, right. Okay. And has there been any other time in your life that you felt like this?
Well, I don't remember that it was so intense as now. I used to be afraid from time to time. So many things happened, but not like this. I have never felt like this before. No matter what I do with myself, I feel like I'm losing.
Okay. I'm just interested in something that you said earlier about your obligations. I hear that you've got a job and that it's reliant on your physical strength. But what else is going on in your life that might create the stress or might create the feeling of obligation?
Oh, wow. I feel so overwhelmed. You know, my day is like tick-tock, what's the next on the clock? All the day running, and I'm aware of it. And I feel so frustrated because it's, for example, I wake up, I have to make breakfast, I'm eating immediately, I have to take the dog out, then I have a first session with the client, then second, then third, then I need to rest a little. It's like, I gotta do this. It's all the day is fulfilled.
Mm.
Even it's so ironic that you say, like, now I have to meditate. Like, it's you cannot say, like, I have to meditate, because that's obligation again, and the meditation is not an obligation. I feel so imprisoned by those obligations and overwhelmed, and they increased in last 3 months so fast, because so many people contacted me, and now I feel like I'm just doing the things, you know.
Yeah, so you feel obligated to all these people that are coming towards you. And what stops you from saying no to them?
I was thinking about it too. I feel like I cannot say no. I feel like I have to help them. And if I don't do that, then I'm going to lose all my money. All my business is going to crash. I'm going to stay alone without any funds.
Okay. So what I hear you saying there is I'm going to worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So just putting down a boundary and saying no to somebody really mean that you're going to lose your whole business and all your income.
I don't know why is it so strong, but it really feels like that inside of me.
It's so you're coming from a place of fear, fear of scarcity, fear of weakness, fear of what if it all collapses?
Yeah.
And do you have a history with fear?
Long history. Yeah, I do.
How far back?
Since I remember myself.
And what sort of fears would come up for you as a child? Some of the earliest things you can remember.
I was always being afraid that I'm going to stay alone and abandoned from everybody else. And that I really have to think and calculate how am I going to manage to keep them, to keep that attention, no matter which kind of attention, what type of attention. But that's something I realized, that the biggest fear is fear of being alone and abandoned and rejected.
And is it okay to ask you what circumstances in your childhood might have created that worry for you?
Yeah, it's okay. I had very nice young parents, but they had their own goals, you know, and I was living with my grandparents on the village, on the countryside, not with my parents. And I remember very well that I miss them a lot, you know, and I did everything that get their attention. I think that that's the way I ended up doing judo, because my father actually was a very famous judo fighter, popular one in the country. And then I started when I was 3 years old. That's how I link it.
Yes.
That's why I think, because I don't remember why do I start. I mean, I don't even remember those first years, but now when I look back to it, I could do something else, something more fun, right? Something not so dangerous.
Yeah, but it made your father happy.
I mean, maybe, yes. But, you know, he's the guy who he has his own way of thinking. I cannot say that I understand him. I cannot say clearly, yes, he was happy, because I didn't feel that. I felt that actually he was just trying to prove something that maybe he couldn't do, because he quitted when he was young as well, because he had a lot of injuries. And
so you witnessed his injuries as well. What did you see? What did you witness in your father when he became injured?
Oh, angry, and he was very furious and angry with the world, you know.
Yeah,
all world was guilty for his injuries, everybody except him.
Right. And what were the consequences of his injuries as well in his life?
Several times he had to do some interventions with his legs, and he has metal implants as well, like metal knee, metal hip. He has great difficulties to walk. He's walking, but in pain.
And so you watching this happening, what did that bring up for you as you witnessed all of this?
You know, because of that, relations in my family changed. I think that the mother was fed up with everything that was going on, and he felt it, but he couldn't process it. So some arguments started to happen. I was witnessing him losing his... not losing his mind literally, but trying to escape the reality in every way that he could. That was like you're watching someone who is from one minute to another, a different, completely different person, from someone who is cheerful and playful to someone who is completely mad. And I witnessed that, and I was afraid as a kid, because I missed him, because that guy is, I mean, my father is super, super guy, but he was losing himself all my life.
Yeah, and so it really makes sense what you're saying. And can you see this pattern in what's happening in your life now?
Well, I cannot see it clearly. I can sometimes I'm spending hours of thinking, but it doesn't help. Like I'm thinking, and sometimes from my intellectual side, I understand, but actually emotionally, I cannot follow, to be honest.
Okay. Before we sort of go a bit further into that, can I ask you, is there around 6 months ago when all these injuries started to happen, was there anything that had changed for you or anything that was going on or any thoughts that were coming in that were related to fear or anything to do with your parents?
Yeah, things were happening. First, I had to go to work in Africa. European Union called me because I'm very good in that, what I do. And they wanted to hire me to work to educate the security guards, to educate them about self-defense. And I accepted, even though it was very dangerous. And in December, they said that, it didn't work because in that country where I had to go, war started. So they canceled everything. And a part of that, then that meant that I needed again to focus on this business that I'm working, like personal trainings. And it was very stressful, you know, because
yes,
all my life were organized for that trip to Africa. And then suddenly it changed and I had to reorganize again. And a part of that, I had difficulties with my partner. And the third thing that happened is that I wanted to give that judo club to my student, very good student, and I asked him to manage the club instead of me, to be like someone who will manage while I'm gone, while I'm not there, while I'm absent. And then it comes again that I have to run it again, you know, and those three things happen in the very same period, like in 1 month.
Yeah.
And my competition in the same month. So many things happened.
Yeah, so there was a lot of fear there, but it makes me think about what you're trying to hold on to. When your plans change very quickly, you've got to be in control. You were trying to make sure that everything was safe and secure for you.
Yeah.
Yeah? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I was very anxious in that period of time. I was losing control, yeah. Because I didn't know what was going to happen the next minute, you know.
Yeah. The wrists are quite often about control. Because from the strength in our wrists, we can use our fingers and our hands to manipulate and to do the fine work that is required to control our environment. So there's often a message in that wrist. Because like you said before, you can't push and you can't pull and you can't grip and you can't hold on to anything.
Exactly.
So would it be fair to say it felt like things were sort of slipping and you were having to hold on to them?
True that, yeah.
And then there's the fear coming up that I can't lose everything. I don't want to lose everything. I've got to hold on.
Yeah. I was thinking that I'm losing everything. In 1 month, I was thinking, am I going to see my family again if I go to that Africa? Or how am I going to survive if I don't go? Many things.
And it's also a very singular thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you think about earlier in your life when you worried about being on your own and being abandoned and being left, you know, you're actually... You're using your strength and your willpower to do these things in the world, but you're actually going to be on your own in Africa if you went.
Yeah.
It sounds like that period of time in that place was activating some old fears and some old worries.
Yeah, but so intense that I could barely stand them. Like it was very high intensity.
Yeah. Everything you do seems to be quite high intensity.
I think, yeah.
And so there's an inner strength inside of you that is keeps pushing you on. But who are you really? Who's in there behind the warrior woman, you know?
That's the question. I can witness that strength we are talking about, and I can feel my power. I can feel them. I'm working with people and I can clearly see it. But yeah, there is someone who is very, very small and unprotected inside of me. I feel that I really need to protect myself all the time, even in some, you know, ordinary activities during the day. And I feel this pain all the time now.
So let me ask you this then. So you're in this place now where you're working, you're pushing yourself through the pain, it sounds like. Yeah. What is it that your body really wants to do?
I don't know. That's what confused me a lot. One part of me saying like that I'm so thrilled and happy when I go to do my judo sessions and when I fight with people. But the other side is saying like, I don't know, like just don't do anything. And then if I don't do something, I'm angry with myself. And if I do something, then I'm in pain. So I'm confused.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get that. So there's a lot of conflict going on inside of you. And inflammation is a battle going on inside. It's an immune reaction that is in fight mode. So if you don't do anything, you said you're angry with yourself.
Yes.
Why do you think you're angry with yourself when you don't do anything?
Because I think, I mean, maybe it's funny, but I think if I don't do the thing that I said that I'm going to do, I'm going to be weak. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to be, you're going to be weak. You need to do this and that. And if you skip lessons from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Judo, everybody's going to be like, they will, you know, suppress you.
And is that true?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't give myself a chance to to test it.
So what I'm hearing is a lot of self-criticism when you don't create action. I don't believe that self-criticism is you. I believe it's come from elsewhere. You've learnt it, maybe just through the judo side of things. You know, maybe what you've learned from the understanding of what it is to be successful and be that fighter. But if you had a three-year-old child who was learning judo in front of you, would you really be that critical about them?
Never. I know what, yeah, it's awful to hear the criticism all the time.
So you've got a critical voice inside of you that is telling you, if you rest, if you stop, you're weak. And when we're asking, is it true? You said, oh, I don't give myself time to think about it. But if you give yourself time to think about it a little bit right now, is it true that if you rest, you're weak?
I'm so afraid to stop that. A rational mind is saying, of course, it's not true. But inner voice is saying, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, just notice that then, because these are the conflicts that are going on. The rational mind is saying, no, and I wouldn't criticize anyone else for just taking some time out or putting a boundary down and just pausing for a moment and rethinking. But inside of you is that voice that's going, whoa, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about that voice not being the true version of you. That's the learnt version, that I will be accepted if I keep going, if I keep fighting. I can't let my guard down for a minute because I need to make sure that I am safe all the time.
Yeah, I feel like that.
And so what is your body making you do?
What's my body making me do? It's saying like, you cannot do it anymore.
Well, it's not saying you can't do it anymore. It's just saying, can we just pause? Because it's not all or nothing, this. You know, injuries heal. This will all heal, but your body's asking you just to take a bit of time out to review what else is going on underneath the drive. There's a big drive to keep moving, and there's a big drive to not sit back, because you've also witnessed in your father what happens if you stop.
Yeah.
Learning is all floating around in the background and driving you. And your body's going, oh no, just hold on. Let's just address some of this emotional past and old stuff that's coming up, the fear, the worry. And let's just pause for a moment and regroup, because you're not your father. And the same thing that happened to him is not going to happen to you, but we have beliefs around that.
Yeah.
So what if you came towards your business in a whole different way? Like, you are your business and people want you. And if you put your boundaries down and say, actually, I can only do this much on this day, and then I'm going to rest and have time out for myself, making some physical boundaries, saying no to people, do you think they will punish you for it and never come back?
To be honest, I do.
Okay, well, I'll ask that same question. Is that true?
That's my fear, but maybe no.
It's a fear, but just because you're carving out some boundaried time for yourself doesn't mean that you're not available to help them. It just means that you can only do it within this time. And, oh, I'm going to have to start a waiting list because I haven't actually physically got time to see everybody. And if you've got a waiting list, what does that make you?
I don't know.
Well, if you were to go to somebody, if you were to go for some training with somebody, and you knew this one person had a waiting list and people were waiting to see them, and the other one could get you in tomorrow.
Well, I would think that that trainer, that coach is wanted because of his quality, actually.
Exactly. So you put your prices up and you make people wait a little bit so you can have the boundaries that you need and the space that you need for yourself. And that makes you a better teacher. You're mirroring to your students what it's like to take care of yourself. No warrior fights 24 hours, 7 days a week. Is that true?
That's true.
Right. You know, all warriors have to look after themselves. All athletes have to look after themselves.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, you know. And so could this whole situation be extended to that? As in, this is more about putting those boundaries down, knowing that actually you have got a long career ahead of you and it's not going to end.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have examples of people that you know of that have got longevity in this industry? So what makes you think that it's all going to collapse and disappear if you don't give of yourself all the time?
I started to be afraid when this pain arrived, and I was thinking like, whoa, this is a sign that now I have to retire, and this is a sign that like I'm getting older and I have to quit.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a sign you need to take a bit more time for yourself. You're not obligated to all these people. You can teach them in so many different ways. You're not limited to only ever being active. There's all sorts of different things that you know you can employ in terms of online teaching and developing their own skills that don't always involve you doing the physical fighting 24/7.
Yeah, there are many methods.
Yeah. But I just want to sort of draw your attention to the fact, the fear, because the fear is out of proportion with the situation because of where it comes from and because of your history and because of what you witnessed in your father, the fear of loss, the fear of I'll lose everything.
Yeah. I mean, That's what happened, actually. Yeah. I witnessed it.
Yeah. So it's understandable that it would create fear for you. But can you also see that you are different from him?
I am.
You are. And you're not living his life. So these fears sit within us and just, you know, can be a little drop of acid that keeps burning a hole in our mind and keeps driving us. My belief is that you've got a very long career in front of you, because I can feel your passion for it. The injuries are about a message about your fear, about how hard you're trying to cling on and hold on to things when actually you're controlling everything anyway, just with your energy. Your business is you, so you're not going to let go of that. All the while you're talking and teaching about judo, and you can change and alter the way that you teach and grow, because everybody in those sorts of industries and in athletics in any form, you know, they come across this turning, this point, don't they, where their body is not as agile or maybe as flexible, or is asking for more rest at some point. But people continue in this industry if they become more balanced. You know, maybe the amount of fighting you do, you know, is maybe needs to lessen, but the other side of teaching can increase.
I follow you and I understand everything that you said, but I'm afraid that I'll have difficulties with to understand that something has to change in my perception of how life has to be and what I have to do in my life to keep that strength and not to be like when you say your fight maybe have to lessen, like decrease a number of for example, fights during the day. And I'm like, no. Like immediately the resistance, no.
Just notice inside of yourself the resistance to changing things.
Yeah.
You're somebody who's used to fighting and is used to that idea that I have to fight to move forward, not just in your world, in your career, but also just within yourself.
Yes.
So what I'm thinking about is how important flexibility is. And there's a question for you. How important is flexibility in judo?
It's a main thing, maybe.
Right. And so what if somebody's not flexible enough? What happens?
If the person is not flexible, well, the person has to work on flexibility. Otherwise, he cannot make a progress.
Exactly. And so the same is happening here for you.
Yeah.
Except it may not be physical. It may be more emotional and in your mind. You're already creating limitations for yourself if you're saying, I'm going to have difficulty doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. So what if you say, okay, I am going to work on and I'm going to move forward with seeing that I don't have to do things the same way as I've always done them. I am allowed to be flexible in my approach.
Nicely said. I will remember the sentence. Sometimes the very simple sentence can push you forward.
The more flexibility that you do have in everything to do with your life, everything, then actually the more you can roll with the ups and downs of everything, whether it's emotional or whether it's in your physical world, the more flexibility of thought you have, the less rigid you are about what rules are coming up. And so that applies for yourself. You know, when there's a critical voice is very inflexible. I feel weak if I don't do this, this, and this. It doesn't allow for much flexibility in that. So it's about softening that internal voice as well. Flexibility doesn't mean weakness.
Yeah. Actually, it's going to be something new for me.
Which is good, because life's all about newness.
Yeah.
And growth, isn't it? And change. So let's just wrap this up by going, okay, so what things do you think are happening in your life now that you could be more flexible about?
Many things, such as those obligations that I put to myself to have. I think that I have to do every task if I want to make a successful self-development, even in spirituality or in physical body, because it's everything connected to me. Even the business is not separated from my spiritual growth as well. That's how I see the things.
Yeah.
That moment when I apply that flexibility rule in one area of my life, I know that it's going to be applied in every area.
Definitely.
I know how I function. So when you ask me what part of your life has to change, has to be more flexible, I mean, everything.
That comes, doesn't it? It's just like taking some of the rules away, some of the fixed thoughts away, and seeing how everything expands and grows with that, and how it reflects then in your body.
I'll start it like immediately.
To be flexible is also to be more relaxed within your body as well, and to be much more
fluid.
Fluid, that's a great word, yes. And when you think of your shoulder having that calcification in, it needs more fluidity. I love that word, fluidity. If you can embody that more, it will translate to your body, and your body will allow itself to heal. But all the while you're telling it it's weak, that's not going to help your body heal. How are you feeling now?
I'm excited a little bit. Excited, and I'm burning. My face is burning. Because I know that it's a big step when you really start to work on that realization. I mean, it's not so easy being flexible all the time. Not all the time, but being flexible where you need to be flexible, because there, that stiffness is something that you have to break through, right? That's why because it's not that I didn't try before.
So it's just noticing. It's noticing when those thoughts come up, I have got to, or there's a critical voice inside of you. Notice those thoughts. Just notice them and go, oh, okay, I hear you. I'm not that. I'm going to be more fluid.
I'm happy because I think that I'm on the good path, because the way that I exercise right now is that fluid movements. I mean, they are a little bit restricted because of this pain, but I think the point is I'm going to try to implement this flexibility more on my way of thinking and of my understanding of my emotions. And then I'll see how is it going with the body.
Yeah, see where you get to with it.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Raya, I hope that was helpful for you.
It is. It's helpful. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, you'll find a lot more content on my Instagram account at thehealingpoint.underscore. If you have a question you'd like to explore and are willing to take part in the podcast, you'll find all the information you need on my website, which is www.tracystevens.org/podcast. Thanks, and see you soon.